Evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Lent 3. As we walk together through the season of Lent, I pray that God is working on your heart as he works on my heart as well. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, today is Nora Sur, my firstborn grandchild. Remember, she turns 10. I call that a perfect 10 in the eyes of our good Lord. And so we're wishing Nora a blessed, happy 10th birthday, and tomorrow, Rich Sunday, is going to turn 78, so he's got a few more years than Nora does, but life is good, and we learn to thank God more and more each day. So if you're a guest or a visitor with us, please know that your presence is a gift to us, and also those who are worshiping with us online, Facebook, and also with our website. We welcome you. We thank God for your presence in our lives. Also, you'll notice in the bulletin with announcements that we've received, as of last week, 113 cans of soup for the Salvation Army Food Pantry. And we're also getting more again tonight. I saw a bunch come in. And so thank you for caring for the neighbors in the name of Jesus. In-person men's Bible study this coming Wednesday at 11 a.m. We physically distance in here. We wear masks. If you'd like to join us, you're welcome to do so. We're hoping, good Lord willing, that we'll be able to do some of our in-person Bible studies this summer out on the church land. So we're already looking forward to what God is providing for his people here at Emmanuel. Also, there is daylight saving time coming up. Doesn't impact us so much because of Saturday night, but that's next weekend already. So keep that in mind in terms of the plans that you are making. Also, a week from tomorrow, implementation team meeting at 5 o'clock. And then just to give you a heads up, there's going to be an Emmanuel huddle, but not until Saturday, April 17th. But we'll have that in the bulletins and the announcements in the future as well. And then one other announcement, you'll see it on the insert if you have a bulletin with you tonight. It's about Easter Monday. Last year we had 38 people. This year we'll probably have more. But instead of doing like pass the baton, this year with the 27 books that we have in the New Testament celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and the gift of Easter, if you want to read a little bit, if you want to read a lot, I'm going to be having it listed starting next week. It'll show you like the books that are 2 hours long that it takes to read, and then there's other ones that are only like 2 minutes. So everyone can participate, and we can have more than one person on any of those books of the New Testament, but you'll let me know, and we'll cover the whole New Testament within those hours of what we call Easter Monday, okay? So those are the announcements that I have for you. Marianne Groven is with her mother getting a COVID shot this weekend up in northern Minnesota, and so Karen is pitch hitting, and we are so grateful. Thank you, Karen. I think those are the announcements then, so if I could invite you to rise as you are able, for our opening hymn, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways."
Stay. Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The word is near you.
On your lips and in your heart.
If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Faith comes from what is heard.
And what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy Father, you made it clear to your chosen people that you are the one true God who is worthy of our worship. Grant us grace and boldness to cast aside all pursuits that can so easily become our idols, and keep us faithful in our worship of you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 119. We'll read it responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours out speech.
And night to night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard.
Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber.
And like a strong man runs its course with joy.
It is rising from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them.
And there is nothing hidden from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned.
In keeping them there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors?
Declare me innocent from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins.
Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless
and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I remind you that earlier today I posted a children's message about the 10 words of God, also known as the 10 commandments, not just do's and don'ts. They're on our Emmanuel Facebook page. And so I encourage parents and grandparents to spend some time discussing how these promising words of Jesus from God Almighty are indeed sweet to our hearts and souls. Let's sing together verses 1 and 2 of In Christ Alone, found on your song insert and on the screen.
In
Here in the death of Christ, I live. In Christ alone. I want to see if you recognize some of these words. I needed the shelter of someone's arms, and there you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs, and there you were. With sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotion, I want to stop and thank you, baby. I just want to stop and thank you, baby. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Do you know those words? How sweet it is to be loved by you, Almighty God. Heavenly Father, you give us your Son, Jesus. How sweet it is. You see, that song, How Sweet It Is, well, it began to be heard in our country in 1964. And it was written because there was an actor, a comedian, and I bet you some of you maybe know who I'm talking about, who coined this phrase. It was one of his most popular phrases. Jackie Gleason. How sweet it is to be loved by you, Lord Jesus. Well, that's not what he was necessarily thinking about, okay? But we know, based upon our scripture lessons for tonight, that there's nothing sweeter than the forever love of God given to us in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone. Ha! Huh? Yes! In Christ alone. You see, the psalmist in Psalm 19, our text for tonight, he says, there's nothing sweeter than honey in this world. Nothing sweeter than the droppings of the honeycomb, except the Word of God, the law, the Torah, the Decalogue, the 10 words. In other words, the Word of God, Jesus made flesh. The psalmist was already praising that there's nothing more valuable we think in this life than gold or fine gold. But we know in truth that there's no greater treasure, no greater love than God's love for us, given to us in Jesus Christ. How sweet it is, how sweet it is. The sweet words of Jesus are given for you. You know those words. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. How sweet it is, the living and abiding words of Jesus for you and for me. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Promising words, sweet words, like when Jesus is preparing for his death and resurrection in the Gospel of John. He washes the feet of his disciples. He gives them a new commandment. And then in chapter 14, when their hearts are heavy, he said, don't let your hearts be nervous, worried, anxious. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, he says, there's many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when it's prepared, I'm going to come and take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know where I'm going. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I am, Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, the life for you. Ha! How sweet it is to be loved by you, Jesus. How sweet it is indeed. You see, in all of our scripture readings for tonight, we get to hear these setting free words of God. We get to hear these sweet tasting words of God. There's no sour taste in there. And whether you use the word Ten Commandments or statutes or rules or laws, literally, it's the 10 words. And you know how they begin. I am the Lord. Sovereign God. He's the one that speaks. I am the Lord, he says. Your God. Binding himself to us, for us. Living in us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. Did you hear those freeing words tonight as the scripture lessons were read? Did you hear those sweet words of Jesus that were spoken for your ears and for your heart? Psalm 19 says, they revive. The word of the Lord is perfect. The law of God is perfect. It revives the soul. It's reviving your soul tonight, my friends, right here in your hearing. St. Paul, he says to the church at Corinth, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. You know that power, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, in your heart, creating faith, deepening faith, giving you that blessed assurance. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Hopeful words for the future that give us an anchor in the present because of the forever sweet words of Jesus. How sweet it is. In our gospel reading, you perhaps remember in John chapter 2 what precedes the temple cleansing. There are, remember, three Passovers in the Gospel of John. And so in John chapter 2, we hear about Jesus and his mother and the disciples being invited to a wedding in Cana. Remember what the problem was? They ran out of wine. The good news is this couple had the wherewithal to invite Jesus on the guest list. Good words for all of us, right? Invite Jesus to the wedding, to the feast, into the home, into the heart of the very fabric of holy Christian marriage. They ran out of wine. Mary's not concerned. Maybe because she's been hearing those sweet words of the gospel for quite some time. And Mary says, son, they don't have any wine. And Jesus says, well, you know, but it's not my hour. I mean, it's not Calvary, it's not Good Friday, it's not Easter yet. Or is it when Christ is present for you, for me? She looks at the servants and Mary says, you just do whatever he tells you, okay? Just do whatever he tells you, okay? And they fill water jars. And then they taste it, and it's the best wine ever. Who does that? How sweet it is to be loved by you, Jesus. How sweet it is. Yes, and they know where it comes from. It says at the end of that story that God got the glory, and that the disciples believed. This was his first sign. This was Jesus' first sign, St. John tells us. And then Jesus has a little bit of time in Capernaum, and then he's there for the Passover in Jerusalem. And he's not happy because he knows what can happen to brick and mortar churches or to temples, that they can become places of trade, that things that begin with good intentions, like we've got to have some currency exchange capabilities. Well, all of a sudden, those 10 words, those 10 promising words, we call the 10 commandments, they can become what? Well, 613 man-made rules, huh? And suddenly then we've got a whole bunch of people that their preoccupation is not with the salvation of sinners, the death and resurrection of Jesus crucified and risen. No, now it's about preserving institutions and keeping doors open and brick and mortar. And all of a sudden, people are being abused and taken advantage of in the name of God? Who does that? He's got, Jesus comes in there and they quote the passage out of the Bible, you know, zeal for thy house, Father, will consume me. Well, we know where God's house is. Because when he chases out and those animals, and when he turns over the tables and the money's flying everywhere and stuff like that, and the religious leaders say, what gives you the right to do this? Show us a sign. Give us some proof. You want some proof? You want a sign? I mean, he's been doing signs all over the place by this point. And Jesus says, okay, here's one for you. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up again. You hear the laughter? It's taken 46 years to build a temple, and you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? Yeah, right. But they didn't know that he was talking about the temple of his body, the house of God, the tabernacle. He was talking about himself. He was prophesying and giving those sweet words that our sins are going to be atoned for, covered, redeemed, our rock and our redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. You see? This is the promising word. These are the sweet words of God. And we hear them in all of our lessons. People have a tendency to think that the Ten Commandments, those 10 words, are all about do's and don'ts. You know what comes before chapter 20 in the book of Exodus? I knew there was going to be somebody here who'd say, chapter 19? Yeah. You see, what happens in chapter 19 is God is establishing a relationship with his people. And when you have a relationship with people, well, then you see the rules, the laws, the words, how sweet it is. Because they're given as grace, they're given as mercy, they're given by a loving God who says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of captivity. You see what God is doing with us, in us, for us, through us, when he gives us the law, the words, those promising words? He's giving them to free people that he has created and formed in his own image, that he is redeeming through the promise in the garden. The seed of Adam and Eve will stomp on sin and death forever when the Son of Man steps on the head of the seed of that ancient serpent. Yes, his heel will be bitten, put to death for our sins. How sweet it is. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God Almighty. How sweet it is. Sweet indeed. You see how a relationship can transform and change everything? A story of a boy named Jack. And Jack, when he was just young, had to have some teeth extracted. And dental work isn't always fun, especially when they're teeth being extracted. And little Jack, I'm guessing about 8 years old, 9 maybe, he was scared. In fact, he was terrified. And there was a nurse there as those teeth were being extracted, and she could see the fear in little Jack. And she reached out and touched his arm and said, you don't need to be afraid. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here now and throughout the whole procedure, and when you open your eyes, don't be afraid. I'm not going anywhere. And sure enough, after the teeth were extracted and little Jack woke up, there she was. You're here, he said. Well, where did you think I would be? The nurse said, I gave you my word. I promised. Ooh, how sweet it is. And Jack, well, that was 20 years ago, and he is on a volunteer fire department, and he's also, well, he's a part of a ambulance attendant crew. And he tells this story. When they went to a scene of an accident, and a pickup truck was upside down, and the driver was pinned, and they couldn't get him out, and so gasoline is leaking all over the place, and Jack said, I crawled under there, and this poor man who was trapped there was petrified. He was terrified. And Jack said, I remembered the day that I had my teeth extracted, and I remember how scared and frightened and terrified I was. And the good Lord kept saying to me, do you remember the promising word? Ah, how sweet. Jack said, I remembered. The nurse, she said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm giving you my word. I'll be here now, and I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm staying here. And so this man who's scared, and he's telling Jack, you know, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it out of here. You've got to remember, they had to use these power tools, and there were sparks flying all over the place, and there's gasoline dripping. But this man was rescued out of this house of bondage. And afterwards, then, he looked at Jack. He said, you are some kind of an idiot, buddy. The gasoline and stuff there. I mean, I knew I was a goner probably, but why in the world were you there? And Jack said, because of the relationship I have. He says, I'm a stranger. I don't know you. You don't know me. I have a relationship with Jesus. And years ago, there was a nurse who said, I'm not going anywhere. And that's why I told you, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here with you. And we're going to get through this together. You see? That's what Jack learned. Those promising, how sweet it is to be loved by you, Jesus. I hope you know that sweetness. Oh, my friend, if you're with us online, if you're here tonight in person, physically distancing, I hope you know deep in your heart how sweet it is to be loved by you, Jesus. Oh, some of you are prayer warriors that God has put in my life. And I included an update, a story in my 431 about the amazing work that India Transform is doing. It's all Christ-centered. It's all in the gospel of Jesus, but there's so much humanitarian compassion. It's just amazing. And I get a chance to listen in every month to the updates of this. John Peter, and people out of Colorado that have such a heart for Jesus. They know how sweet the love of God is. I'm going to share a little bit of that story tonight in case you haven't heard it yet. And if you've heard it, it won't hurt to hear a second time. Because we had a church council meeting yesterday, and India Transform is one of our ministry partnerships. And right now, between now and Easter, there is a congregation where the members are matching dollar for dollar the gifts that are given. And so we were able yesterday to say, the gift that we have on our budget, we're going to send right away. And there might be other people that want to give personal gifts as well, because it's going to double between now and Easter. What a deal, huh? So here's the story. You may recall that in the year 2004, there was a large earthquake in the Indian Ocean and a tsunami. And it devastated a lot of people, destroyed lives. But there was one place, Papa Coil, India, where there's a lot of poverty already. And they were devastated, and the government was not giving assistance. And in 2006, John Peter, who was the founder of India Transform, he went there, and the people there were begging, can you help us? Nobody's helping us. And so in 2006, they started a childcare center there, India Transform. I didn't know about this. They started a childcare center, and they were able to minister to these people. And if you know anything about India, you know the caste system. And you know that the Dalit, is the lowest. They don't even consider them a caste because they're so low. They're called the untouchables. They do the dirtiest, most heinous of work over there, 50 cents a day. Well, in 2008, they were able to start renting a house, but they only got a portion of it for their ministry they were doing. And the owner doesn't like the Dalits, so he wouldn't even let them use the bathroom facility, so these kids had to go to the bathroom outside and stuff. That was December, remember, when the tsunami hit in 2004. Last December, on Boxing Day, the 26th of December, St. Stephen's Day, there was the monsoons and it created flooding. The dam broke, and guess who lost everything? The ones who have little or nothing, the Dalits. Homes completely gone. Oh, what little possessions they had, all gone. And in the midst of the heartache and the devastation, prayers went up. And prayers have been answered. Congregation, they're not wealthy people, but they're people that have a heart for Jesus in Illinois and in Nebraska. And they're responding. Somebody gave $5,000 so that immediately then, there's 100 kids in this child care center. 70 of them have scholarships so they can go. And so what ends up happening is that this gift that came from a congregation in the United States is allowing them then to give food to these kids and their families and clothing, because they have nothing. They've lost everything of what little they had. And then the place that they've been renting, he's evicting them. Now what do? Well, you pray. We know how to pray. We pray, right? And another congregation says, we're going to help out with this. You see, right next door, there's 2,400 square feet of land for sale. They're not going to sell it to this other wealthier guy, because he's been giving loans to people that he knows can't be repaid, and he's been getting the land. But 2,400 square feet, and the government provides a matching gift of land as well for a very reasonable, affordable price. And a congregation said, we're going to pay for that. We're going to make this happen over there. And remember, the main ministry is in Bangalore, about 12 to 14 hours away, where they're doing amazing ministry, India Transform. And then they have an architect whose kids go to the school in Bangalore. They're Hindu. He's a Hindu architect. And they're going to chapel time and they're memorizing verses out of the Bible, my friends, at this Christian school that India Transform is doing, transforming the lives of people. You already probably know what's happened in Papakoil. These Dalits are coming to faith in Jesus over the last 10, 20 years. Because unashamedly, it's not just humanitarian aid, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How sweet it is! Well, this architect, he says, I'm going to do all the plans and drawings and stuff for free for this. About $75,000 is all it's going to cost to build 6,000 square feet of space. Three-story building. This is amazing, my friends, of what God is doing in the midst of heartache and devastation. God is already providing in advance the answer to the prayers that he knows of for those that he wants to redeem and set free from the house of bondage. Simply amazing, my friends. And I get a chance to hear the stories. And I get a chance to share those stories with you. How sweet it is. In the update, they had four women who just loved Jesus, younger women, and they were doing a dance. Some of you know that in America, like, we have these sports figures and then we have these bobblehead dolls, right? You know what I'm talking about, bobblehead dolls, right? Anyway, we probably collect them, you know, for collection. Over there, they're really important. And so these four young ladies were doing this dance. It's called a dance of joy. Remember, these are Dalits. 50 cents a day, right? And the dance, we asked John Peter, what is this? What's the song they're singing? What is this? It's a dance of joy. It's called the Dal dance. And what they are saying is, I am a Dal that Jesus loves. I am a Dal that belongs to Jesus. And I am saying yes to him. You see, that's what it is. The relationship that God has with his people, formed in his image, given new birth in Jesus. And then comes the 10 words. In a relationship with Jesus, who goes to the cross for our sins, what would we hold back? You see how the lives are going to be changed over there with the schooling and stuff? In the second floor, they're going to be able to have seamstress things. They're going to do animal husbandry stuff. A church plant stuff. They don't have a church building over there yet. Just imagine, in the midst of this crisis where they're being evicted by a man who doesn't have love in his heart for the untouchables. God is saying, they're not untouchable to me. They're not untouchable to me. So how sweet it is. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yeah, nothing sweeter than Jesus, my friends. You know that. You believe that. We preach Christ crucified. Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, the wisdom, the strength, the power of Almighty God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of captivity. Sweet words for you. Jesus loves you, and his forever love, well, he's not going anywhere. He's sticking with you right now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for verses 3 and 4 of In Christ Alone. We continue with our confession. In Christ you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated, and I invite you to share God's peace virtually on the phone and in other ways in the days ahead with those that it is safe to do so with. Also, I remind you that we don't pass the offering plates, and so those wishing to support the work of God, there's a basket in the back, or there's online giving and other opportunities as well. Let's open our hearts now for prayer.
Let us humbly beseech God for his mercy upon the church, the world, and one another. Thank you, Father, for your dear Son. Thank you for making him your living temple. Thank you for making him our eternal house of prayer. Give us faith to pray together with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Cleanse and purify your church. Make it a house of prayer for all people. Give it pastors, bishops, and leaders who preach, preside, and teach faithfully, and whose lives adorn the gospel with holiness. Use it to draw all people to yourself. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless your suffering church, that it may never be overcome by bitterness or despair, but may be a beacon of your saving love in a sin-darkened world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for fathers and mothers and everyone entrusted with the care and nurture of your little ones. Give them the grace and faith so they may teach their children your commandments and to bring them to your house, there to receive your gracious word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the rulers of the nations to seek your will and give them the strength to do it. Teach us to live by your commandments. Give wisdom and prudence to our elected leaders and grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You are the strength of all who suffer and the joy of all who are sorrowful. Be present with your merciful care to all those whose need is great, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we have so many people that we pray for, out loud and in the silence of our hearts. We pray for all who are battling cancer. We pray for Kelly Stoyles. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon Barbara Stephenson and Dan Brooklyn, McKenna Studer, Karen Peterson, Becky Ottman. We pray also, Lord, your healing power upon Gail Jepson, going through so much pain right now and infection in her body. We pray for Leroy's sister Elaine, for Nancy Stockman and her husband Rick. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon those who battle gout and those who battle all kinds of eye ailments. We pray for comfort and strength, Lord, for the family and friends of Greg Farrington. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with Nancy Webster, with Keith Hammerbeck, that you would continue to speed on the healing of your servant Daryl Bolton and Don Wanick and Rich Sunday and his brother Merrill. We pray for comfort for David Schaefer and his family in the loss of his mother Marlis. We pray for Steve Christensen. We pray for Jan Hansen, for Julie Blanchard, and all those that we name before you.
Give them and all who love them grace to trust in Christ Jesus. He alone is their life, health, hope, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we entrust into your merciful care all our departed loved ones. Comfort all who grieve. Keep our feet in the path of your commandments, our hearts firmly fixed on your forgiving love, and our eyes forever focused on the cross of Christ Jesus until you bring us safely into your welcoming embrace and eternal home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, most merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Rise as you are able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our going forth hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed.
My Savior bleed, and did my soul.
our Lenten dismissal. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.